And Dan Dixon is going to read to us first from Ezekiel chapter 17 and then from Matthew chapter 13.
The Old Testament reading from Ezekiel 17, verses 22 to 24. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take the top of a tall cedar and break off a tender sprout. I will plant it on a high mountain, on Israel's highest mountain. It will grow branches and bear seed and become a magnificent cedar. Birds of every kind will live there and find shelter in its shade. All the trees in the land will know that I am the Lord. I will cut down the tall trees and make the small trees grow tall. I will wither up the green trees and make the dry trees become green. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will do what I have said I would do. And then the New Testament reading is Matthew 13, verses 31 to 33. The first is the parable of the mustard seed. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man takes a mustard seed and sows it in his field. It is the smallest of all seeds, but when it grows up, it is the biggest of all plants. It becomes a tree so that birds can come and make the nests in its branches. And then the parable of the yeast. Jesus told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A woman takes some yeast and mixes it with 40 liters of flour until the whole batch of dough rises. This is the word of the Lord.
So let us pray. Father God, our prayer at this point is that you will open our eyes, that we may discover wondrous truth out of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Did you know that the tallest tree in the world ever measured is a Douglas fir found in British Columbia? It stood at 415 feet. The most massive tree in the world is the General Sherman, to be found in the Sequoia National Park, California, standing at 274 feet, probably it's a bit taller now. It has a true girth of 114 feet. Wow, how does that compare with your waist size? And I'm told that the largest seed in the world is the double coconut, or coco de mer, the single-seeded fruit of which may weigh as much as 40 pounds, 18 kilograms for the younger ones. Well, does it seem a strange way to start a sermon? Well, it was in fact my text which sent me scurrying to the Guinness Book of Records. As those of you who are regular in worship will know, on a Sunday morning we are looking at some of the parables of Jesus. And this morning we're looking in particular at the parable of the mustard seed. Let me read to you those words that were read by Anne. The kingdom of heaven, said Jesus, is like this. A man takes a mustard seed and sows it in his field. It's the smallest of all, but when it grows up, it is the biggest of all. It becomes a tree, so the birds come and make their nests in its branches. Yes, said Jesus, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a great mustard man. I can't eat a sausage without mustard, can you? And as for black pudding, that really needs mustard. You know, one of the great contributions I've made to my Rotary Breakfast Club is that I've insisted that at every breakfast there is always a pot of mustard. I find it interesting that long before Mr. Coleman came on the scene, mustard was very much in demand. In the ancient world, the black mustard seed of which Jesus spoke, the so-called Sinopis nigra, was grown both for the grains, supplying a sharp tang, as also for the leaves, which were cooked like greens. Eat up your greens, dear. Eat up your mustard leaves. Can you imagine? However, When Jesus talked about mustard seeds, he wasn't interested in the difference that they could make to food, but rather it was about their size. Now, in those days, mustard seeds were renowned for their smallness. Jesus calls it here the smallest of all seeds. Now, strictly speaking, that is not accurate, at least not as far as scientists today are concerned. But in Jesus' day and age, it was regarded as the smallest. And in fact, as far as the Jews were concerned, the mustard seed was a byword for smallness. For instance, the Jews used to talk of a drop of blood as small as a mustard seed. Or if they were talking of some small breach of their ceremonial law, they would speak of a defilement as small as a mustard seed. And Jesus himself used that phrase in this way when he spoke of faith as a grain of mustard seed. He said in Matthew 17, "I assure you, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed," really as small as a mustard seed, "you can say to this mountain, go from here to there, and it will go." You could do anything. Yes, the mustard seed was renowned for being small. And I'm told that it requires some 725 to 760 seeds to weigh a gram. And yet from such tiny beginnings can come enormous growth. On average, a tiny mustard seed grows to a height of 2.5 to 3 meters. 8 to 10 feet, that is. Indeed, mustard seed plants have been known to be as tall as 12 foot in height. In the words of Jesus here, when it grows up, it becomes the biggest of all plants. It becomes a tree, so that the birds come and make nests in its branches. And I'm told that those words of Jesus were no exaggeration, and that still today, birds seek out the shade of its big leaves and then nibble on the tangy seeds. The kingdom of heaven, said Jesus, is like a mustard seed. Two thoughts. First of all, where God is at work, small is often great. Where God is at work, small is often great. Now, a handful of mustard seeds wouldn't win a prize in a fruit and vegetable show. Nor do mustard seeds look very impressive when they're put into the ground. They disappear. And yet from those seeds, from their planting, tremendous growth may result. What at the time might seem very insignificant may at the end prove to be momentous. I mean, take for instance the signing of the Magna Carta in Runnymede in 1215. I doubt whether anybody at the time realised the significance of the event. At the time when King John, much against his will, signed the Magna Carta, it must have seemed just an ordinary power struggle. But with the benefit of hindsight, we now see that was the beginning of British parliamentary democracy. From a small thing, something significant emerged. Likewise, in AD 28 or whenever, nobody could have guessed what God was doing through the life and ultimately the death of Jesus. At the time, all the ordinary onlooker could see was a Galilean carpenter turned itinerant prophet and healer who was drawing after him a motley mob of tax collectors and sinners. But even then, his success appeared to be limited. Already at this stage, he'd been turned out of the synagogue. The Jewish leaders were saying that he was in league with the devil. Even his family were wondering whether he was out of his mind. Yes, even to the keenest of observers, it would have been difficult to have seen that God was at work, let alone to have understood that God was at this point invading human history in the person of his son. It all seems so ordinary. It all seems so low scale. And yet, as a result of this one apparently very ordinary life, the greatest religious movement this world has ever known was born. When Jesus told this parable, there were just 12 disciples. Today there are millions of us. And what's more, in spite of all its failings, the Christian church has proved to be the most powerful force for good in the world. It's been said, the church is a miracle of history, more striking than any one miracle performed by Jesus in his earthly career. Discuss, I feel like saying. And so we could go on. History is dated by the birth of that apparently ordinary child. What is today's date? The 26th of September, 2010 AD, Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. The influence of this one man has been enormous. And Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Don't be deceived by appearances. God is at work in me, through me. He's doing something fantastic. You may write me off as a failure or as a small-time player, but in God's sight, you'll see that small is not only beautiful, but small becomes grand. From remarkably small beginnings, great results can come. Well, that's a fact. It's a fact of history. But I believe that there is also a principle, too, that we need to hear more than ever. That in God's kingdom, size, at least initially, may not be significant. From the smallest of things, great things can come. I mean, goodness gracious, what about Lucinda Millie? She seems just such an ordinary, I don't say ordinary child, but just an ordinary baby in some ways. But who knows what God may make of this small child? Or on a personal level, it may mean that we may well not see the results of our labours for a time. Perhaps not even in our lifetime. We may sow the seed, but it may be left to others to reap the harvest. In the first place, God, the Lord of the harvest, calls us to be faithful and not successful. Our time frame may not necessarily be God's time frame. I find that an encouraging thought. So to go back to that point, where God is at work, small is often great. And secondly, and perhaps most significantly today, where God is at work, everybody is welcome. In the kingdom of God, small may often be great, but there is no place for exclusivity in that kingdom. And Jesus makes this clear when he says of the mustard seed, it is the smallest of all seeds, but when it grows up, it is the biggest of all plants. It becomes a tree, so the birds come and make nests in its branches. Did you make the connection between Ezekiel 17 and Matthew 13? Almost certainly, when Jesus was telling this parable, he was alluding to Ezekiel 17. There the prophet was looking to the day when Israel's fortunes would be reversed, when the nations of the world would come to Jerusalem and discover that Israel's God was their God. But at the time, Israel was on its beam ends. God spoke this word of hope. He said, I will take the top of a tall cedar and break off a tender sprout. I will plant it on Israel's highest mountain. It'll become a magnificent cedar, and birds of every kind will live there and find shelter in its shade. The tender sprout of which Ezekiel spoke was a picture for the Messiah, for the future king. When he sits on his throne, all the other nations will recognize Israel's God as Lord. That was the thrust of Ezekiel's message. Now Jesus takes hold of this picture and incorporates it in his parable. True, there are differences. Ezekiel spoke of a cedar tree and Jesus of a mustard tree, mustard seed, which became a tree. But the picture of birds nesting in the tree is the same. Those birds represent the nations of the world. And Jesus declared that what Ezekiel promised, God was now doing in and through him in his ministry. Through his ministry, Jesus was saying, God is establishing his kingdom, and in this kingdom, people of every nation, of every tribe, are welcome. There would be nothing exclusive about God's kingdom. It wouldn't be a kingdom for one nation, for one color, or whatever. As he said on another occasion, people will come from the north and the south, from the east and the west. Yes, where God is at work, there everybody is welcome. The kingdom of God has nothing in common with holy huddles. It's been rightly said of the church that the church is the only institution which exists for the sake of its non-members. We're not like the golf club, where you pay your sub and the club is for you. It's not like the health club, where you pay your sub and the club is for you, and as it were, forget about the rest of the people who can't afford to pay the sub or whatever. We don't exist for ourselves. We exist for the sake of others. And newcomers are always welcome here at Central Baptist Church. In a sense, every Sunday is a big welcome Sunday. Our church, as hopefully every church, is a church where everybody is welcome. As we say on this little welcome card, Central is a church for everybody. Children and young people, young singles and young couples, people in midlife and seniors too. You know, I visited a church once where the minister said to the congregation, right, everybody over 40, I don't want to see you again. Unbelievable, but true. He said, the future is with young people. We're going to adopt young people's worship. Goodbye, old people. There are plenty of churches for you. And I've also known other churches where, frankly, they say to young people, don't come. We just want to sing good old-fashioned hymns. You won't like it. Beat a track elsewhere. We're going to be like neither. We exist for all, young and old. And what's more, people from different cultures are welcome too. We are not, thank God, just a church for white Anglos. We are a church where people of colour are welcome too. We delight in our diversity in Christ. And we want to be a multicultural church. We want to be a church for all. That's why we run the Alpha Course. We don't just want to be a church for boring people like me, who've grown up in a church since childhood, who are used to sitting in hard pews and listening to depressing sermons. We want to be a church for people who have no church background whatsoever. Hence Alpha. And nor do we want to be a church just for people who appear to have got their life together. We want to be a church for people who are struggling with life, for people who have messed up in life. Actually, the reality, of course, is that we've all messed up in one way or another. We've all failed God. We've all failed one another. This church is for people who know their need of God. This church is for everybody, because in God's kingdom, everybody is welcome. So to read again the words of my text, the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man takes a mustard seed and sows it in his field. It is the smallest of all, but when it grows up, it is the biggest of all plants. It becomes a tree, so that birds come and make their nests in its branches. Here is God's word for us today. Let's pray. Where God is at work, small is often great, and everybody is welcome. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.